It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
California Wine Country. Our guest today is Doug Stewart with the Anderson Valley Wine Growers in Mendocino. Doug, great to meet you, and how the hell are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Hey, yeah, well, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you.
You've brought a lot of wine.
Well, I was going to let you guys decide what to open.
Doug has Brego Winery in Anderson Valley. Where does the name come from? It's an odd name.
Brego comes from Bootling, which is the local language of Anderson Valley.
And
we bought a farm in 2000, that had been a sheep ranch for 150 years. Brego means sheep in Bootling from the word Borrego.
We've been talking a lot lately about Bootling because Dan Berger's new wines come from Mendocino County, the
and
grapes.
Call, and that's yeah, what, I call them Ball Franny, so
which means good wine, right?
Good wine.
Right. Anderson Valley is 2 hours north of San Francisco on a good day, meaning if you're just driving at a decent speed from the Golden Gate Bridge. But the last most of the hour is on a very windy road called 128.
Right.
I believe it is the most beautiful way to get from Highway 101 to the coast.
Oh, and it's gorgeous. It's so gorgeous.
Yeah, there, and it's diverse. You go from New York to the Highlands into the Anderson Valley. Then you go into the Redwoods, which is mostly state parks. And then you hit the Mendocino Coast, which is also one of the most beautiful parts of California coast.
Our guest is Doug Stewart from Brego Winery, Anderson Valley Wine Growers. You poured a taste of some sparkling wine, and that is from Brego?
Nope. No. So I started Brego in 2005, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And I sold it to Cliff Lady Vineyards in 2009 and was able to buy it back last year. But we had planted an estate vineyard in Lichen, which is my other brand, L-I-C-H-E-N, as in the stuff that grows on trees and rocks.
Yeah.
This is a Lichen sparkling Pinot Gris.
A sparkling Pinot Gris. I love that. Dan, why do I like it so much?
It's amazing that Doug can do this because this variety is so tricky. And to make a wine, just a still wine, let alone sparkling, is really difficult. And this one is gorgeous because it's got this beautiful aromatic of beautiful fruit, but it doesn't have the bitterness and the aftertaste that
Not
this variety
all.
Almost always has. And yet the wine is completely dry. I don't know how you do this, Doug. This is pretty amazing. What do you call the wine?
We call it Blanc de Gris.
Blanc de Gris.
This is a 2015.
2015. And barely into its prime.
Yeah.
I mean, it hasn't even aged very much, and it's gorgeous wine.
I don't think I poured everybody enough, so we're going to go
fine.
Again.
This is really delicious.
So what Dan said about Pinot Gris being bitter, we discovered that in our first vintage of Brego. And because we got to be known for our Pinot Gris, I planted some. So we have our estate vineyard is 80% Pinot Gris, 80% Pinot Noir, which is what most of Anderson Valley is
made
to,
right,
and 20% Pinot Gris. Because we figured it out. And the way to figure out how to make good Pinot Gris is go to Alsace, France. And they all have residual sugar. And so the key to making great Pinot Gris, one of them, is to leave a little bit of residual sugar on it. Not enough so that it is necessarily sweet.
And how long would you lay it down, Berger?
Well, it's so good now I would drink it. But I think time goes by, it's going to get better. Because it doesn't yet have all that... I couldn't call it brioche or bread dough component that is going to creep into this wine as time goes by. So another 3-5 years, maybe, this will develop some of that. And it's got gorgeous. The sparkling component of it is brilliant. It actually adds to the personality in the mid palate. The aftertaste is really where the secret is. This is really a delicious stuff.
It really is. And the finish is unbelievable.
Yeah.
While that's happening, I want to introduce myself just a little bit because I was supposed to be here with two others, Courtney and Barbara, who are from the Anderson Valley Wine Growers. Neither of them could make it for family reasons. I am the president of the Anderson Valley Wine Growers in addition to being a winemaker at Lichen Estate and the owner of Brego and Lichen. But I will want to talk about all the things that we're doing in Anderson Valley. So upcoming is the Pinot Fest, and there are still tickets available. So I'm going to promote that.
When is that?
Pinot Fest is the 17th, 18th, 19th of May.
Beautiful.
Best way to find it is on the web at avwines.com. There is a barbecue the night before. There is a technical conference the day before, where we always talk all things Pinot, but there is an Anderson Valley emphasis. And then the Pinot Fest itself is an in-person, there are 50-plus wineries that are pouring.
And it's all Anderson Valley.
All Anderson Valley, yeah. So we are widening the scope for the first time this year. It has historically been only all Anderson Valley Appalachian, which
right,
is part of the Navarro watershed. And whereas the Anderson Valley is really the Navarro watershed. And so we're having, I think, at least one, maybe two, not in the Appalachian, but vineyards that are part of the watershed.
Gotcha.
Participate this year.
I'd like to make a comment about the Pinot Noir Festival. I think it's one of the most wonderful events anybody could attend for a couple of reasons. When you go to public walk-around wine tastings, typically you go from white to red, from rosé to pink to gray to dark red to sweet and so on. And with the Pinot Noir Festival, you really learn what a region is all about, and it's all about Pinot Noir in Anderson Valley. That's 90% of why you want to be there. And I mean, there's plenty of other white, fabulous white wines and so
Thank
forth,
you.
But the reds are pretty much almost all Pinot Noir. And when you realize what style of wine is popular in Anderson Valley, you really begin to understand graphically what Anderson Valley is really all about. It's about delicacy. It's not about power. It's about personality of the wine. It's about the flavors that you get from the sub-regions and how those unique properties that are being gaining so much traction with American consumers, how those things are really beginning to make sense as to what they are. In addition, and most importantly, these wines are typically not as expensive as you'll find in some other areas of California for Pinot Noir. Pinot Noirs from Sonoma County, for example, will run you, a good one will run you $55 to $65, unfortunately. That's the way it is. The average price in Anderson Valley is less. Why is that? Because people don't know, it's not easy to find these things. And so when you make the journey up to the Pinot Noir Festival, it gives you an opportunity. Clean your trunk out before you go up, because you're going to be coming home with a lot of stuff. Some of that stuff is fabulous.
I agree. What's about to be poured is a Gewürztraminer. Anderson Valley is a cold climate region, coldest appellation on the West Coast. Reason for that is the Navarro River is like a gun barrel pointing toward the Gulf of Alaska, and we get the cold winds and the cold Pacific Ocean from the Gulf of Alaska all year round.
Yeah.
And so in the 70s, they were trying to figure out what they could plant, and they started planting Cabernet, and they could never ripen it, and they started planting other stuff, and they couldn't ripen it. The only red wine that really could get ripe on the valley floor was Pinot Noir. Pinot Noir being very cold climate, grown in Burgundy and Champagne primarily in France, meaning very northern and very cold parts of France at the time. And then they grew other varietals that were German and Alsatian. And Gewürztraminer is actually originally from northern Italy, but the Dolomite Mountains, meaning it's a very cold climate varietal. And a lot of Anderson Valley originally was planted at Gewürztraminer. Dan will tell you more than I will because he's a huge fan.
On the Brego.com website,
yes,
it says Anderson Valley places too steep with soils too thin and climates too cold for other types of intensive agriculture, but boy, does it work for sheep and wine.
Yeah. I mean, wine grows on the margins. The best wines, I would say, grow on the margins. And by that, I mean where it's too cold to grow, I don't want to say wheat, but you wouldn't grow wheat on a 30% slope.
Wheat, not weed.
Wheat. Oh, yeah.
They do grow wheat.
We take a lot of pride.
No matter how cold it is up there, they're growing
yeah,
weed.
Yeah, it's Mendocino County, baby.
Yeah, exactly.
But in addition to that, which my neighbors certainly grow, wine just grew well, and cold climate white wines grew well. So we, as a valley, specialize in cold climate whites. So we used to have what was called the Alsatian Wine Fest. Now it's called the White Wine Fest.
Right.
That was a brutal debate because I'm a fan of the Alsatian Festival. But anyway, so White Wine Fest, we Riesling and Gewürztraminer and Pinot Gris are spectacular from where we are.
And you just poured a Gewürz.
I poured a Gewürz.
As we say.
This is a 2022. Which is way too young to drink, but I'll drink it.
I'm watching him drink it.
Yeah. I love it. But you can tell what it's going to become.
What's amazing about this wine, to me, is the aromatics have not yet developed, but the taste is already halfway there. So if you give this an extra year in a bottle, one more year, this will be phenomenal. It's already great, but all right. But for purists, the people who really love Gewürz, this is too young.
Doug Stewart from Brego Winery and the Anderson Valley Wine Growers. You have a tasting room at Brego.
We now have two. So
okay.
Brego, we just opened Brego in February of 2024, so 2 months ago. So Brego originally started on my property in what is now like an estate tasting room and winery. But we were fortunate enough to lease my favorite historical buildings in Anderson Valley, which include the apple drying barn, which Phillips Hill had occupied for 10 years before. And before that, the winery was called Standish. And I think I'm sitting on Standish Road here in Santa Rosa.
Yes, you are.
Same family. It is a building from the 1870s.
Yeah, it looks so cool, man.
There is a creek that runs underneath it.
Nice.
There is a dump. Meaning you can open the floor and drop apple cores into the creek, or that's apparently what they did back in the 1870s.
Wow.
And then when regulations came around, they started putting a little truck stand where they could take those apple cores and whatnot and dump them elsewhere. But that's what they did, which is why we don't have as many salmon anymore. But I'm actually also on the environmental committee for the Anderson Valley Wine Growers, and we are trying to resuscitate the salmon and the coho and the steelhead populations in the Anderson Valley.
Amen.
And so yeah, amen to that. And so we are we're not dumping anything into that creek. We just have the privilege of having a tasting room that straddles a creek.
The tasting room is open from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. every day. You need to book ahead?
Yes. My website is slow. So it's 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. You can book on our website on Talk.
This is a spectacular region. If you haven't been through Anderson Valley, it's definitely worth a trip. I would absolutely recommend that people take an extra day, stay overnight if you can. Lodging is not easy over there because there's so few places, but if you went in the midweek, no problem at all. And it's a gorgeous place to visit, and there's a limited number of places to eat, but boy, they are good.
Oh,
the ones that are there are
wonderful restaurants.
And then there's also a wonderful wine shop called Disco Ranch that's fabulous, and they have a wine
you talked
selection.
About that not long ago.
Yeah, she's good.
Disco Ranch.
Yeah,
that's gotta love that.
That's her brand.
The Pinot Fest, the date's in May again.
It's 17th to the 19th this year.
Okay, and they need to get tickets in advance? How does that work?
That, absolutely. So it sells out every year.
Yeah.
I do not believe it's sold out right now, but it always sells out before.
Yeah.
The Chardonnay is being poured. So this is a Farrington Vineyard Chardonnay. And so I did something to bracket this. I brought a wine from another winery from the Anderson Valley called Fathers and Daughters. It is a Pinot Noir from 2021. They are from Farrington Vineyard. Farrington Vineyard being one of the most renowned vineyards of not only Anderson Valley, but of the West Coast, I'm going to say. My friend Kurt Schoenemann, who owns the vineyard, was bragging to me about how he had a vineyard that had five different varietals that had more than 90 points from Robert Parker. And my response was, Kurt, do you know who got all those 90-plus point wines from Robert Parker? That was Brego days for me.
Well, there you go.
So we are getting more Farrington now, and so what's in your glass, or soon to be.
What year is this?
22.
22, yeah, so okay. It's a young shard.
Yeah.
And it's delicious already.
Oh, it's delicious, but it's going to be much better. I mean, right now, you know me. But I think the more important issue is, this is really Anderson Valley. This is what Anderson Valley does best, and that is make really good fruit that shows itself young, but it also develops in time.
And it's all about the fruit.
It develops so beautifully is that there's really good underlying acidity to all these wines. Every single wine that you'll find in the Anderson Valley is going to be made to tastes good young, but develop in the cellar and especially work with food.
I'm gonna echo something that Dan says. It is a challenge. My friends joke that I am trying to sell 2026 Pinot Noir in 2024 because our wines seem so young. And there's high acid, there's great tannin.
Yeah.
And that's what you find in great Burgundy, great Champagne, great Alsace. And that is the nature of our appellation. And you'll find that across the board for all producers.
High acid.
Yeah.
Sounds like my college days.
Yeah.
You know, we call this show NPR on acid, by the way. But when the acid we're talking about in wines is not the same thing.
Yeah.
Now, what this cottage, you got a three-bedroom Craftsman Cottage. Is it next to Brego?
It is. Yeah, so it's that was the original farmhouse for a 2,000-acre sheep ranch.
Right.
It was subdivided in the mid-90s, and we bought it, and it was literally falling down.
It looks beautiful now.
Yeah, my wife and I spent 3 years.
And people can rent it.
Yes. Oh, and it's on Airbnb.
Airbnb.
If you're a club member of ours, we rent it directly. We also have an... speaking of Pinot Fest, we have room for two in the Airstream, which sits above our vineyard, which is spectacular.
Very cool.
Yeah,
It's Breggo, Breggo.com. Breggo in Bootling language is sheep. And Doug Stewart is also the main man at the Anderson Valley Wine Growers. And he has Lichen Wines and Breggo. Lichen is that? That's not Bootling, is it?
No, that's the stuff that grows on trees.
That's
and
right.
Rocks.
Yeah, you
and
already
actually,
said that.
So, lichen. I use this word. Lichen is the most extant life form on the planet, other than human beings. Meaning, it grows in the Arctic, in the desert. My wife is from Ecuador, so we go to Ecuador often. And when we were on one of their tallest mountains at 12,000 feet, it literally covered the soil, like the dirt was full of lichen. It's everywhere, and it's just a beautiful thing. It's a symbiotic life form, and I love it.
It's a beautiful thing, Dan. Why do I love this so much? And how long should we lay it down?
Well, that's a really good question, Steve, because I definitely believe this wine is an absolute baby. This reminds me a little bit of Chablis in a certain way,
yes.
And good quality Chablis is going to go 6 to 10 years, and sometimes longer, but. Occasionally, what you do is you wait this out for 6 years. Well, 6 years from vintage. And this is 2022, so you're already 2 years in. So it means it needs about three more years, two or three, to really show what it's going to be. The best way to access this, and people are not going to trust me, but that's all right. They don't have to worry about this. I'll do it. Decant this. Let this wine have some air.
For a couple hours.
At least a day would be perfect.
Okay.
And Doug's right. This is the secret to good wine is acid and pH. I'm in the middle of a book. I'm writing a book right now on this. And the more important issue is that most people don't trust the winemaker when they taste a wine like this. When you taste this wine, trust the winemaker. This needs an extra 24 hours open. Before it ever really shows.
In a decanter.
Decanter. Maybe the best thing to do would be put in the decanter and then stopper the decanter so that you don't want to lose any aromatics. And then come back 24 hours later, take the stopper out of the bottle, and this thing will have finally evolved somewhat. The best thing to do is to buy 3 or 4 extra bottles and just throw them in the cellar.
I recommend a case.
Yeah, buy a case, whatever. Put it in the cellar. This is really a special. You don't see very often these kind. This wine has enough acidity to really evolve in the bottle and also make your food taste better. It will absolutely make your food taste better.
California Wine Country, Dan Burgers here, and Doug Stewart from Brego Winery and Lichen Winery. He's head of the Anderson Valley Wine Growers.
I opened some Pinot Noir from somebody else's vineyard. A vineyard.
But an Anderson Valley vineyard, yes. Obviously.
It's from Farrington Vineyard. It is made by, it's called Fathers and Daughters. And Kurt Schoenemann is the owner of Farrington Vineyard, has been since, I want to say, 1994. Farrington was one of the very first vineyards in Anderson Valley, planted in 1971. But Fathers and Daughters is his son-in-law. So his daughter is involved, Kurt's daughter, and her husband. And then their daughter is the other daughter. So there are two fathers, two daughters. And this is a Farrington Vineyard Pinot Noir from 2021. Oh, I'm sorry. This is Roma's. So they make more than just Farrington. But most of what they make is from Farrington. We make a sparkling wine for them from Farrington Vineyard.
Where is the Rosso's Vineyard? Where is that located?
Sorry. Roma's is 1,700 feet on the ridge above us. It actually probably was part of our property once upon a time, meaning back when our property was 2,000 acres instead of 200. It was planted, I want to say, in the 90s. All Pinot Noir, they were a couple from, well, she's from Hawaii, he's from Alaska. He flew the, what do you call them, the planes that land in the water.
Is that a Pinot?
Seaplanes in Alaska. He was a flyer in Alaska. They loved Anderson Valley. Came there and settled down. Had their family there. So that's Roma's Vineyard, Farrington Vineyard. Roma's being between Boonville and Philo,
right on
the ridge, 1,700 feet. Farrington is on the valley floor, right as you leave Boonville and look right.
Right. It's slightly elevated. Isn't it got a little bit of slope there?
Not really. Farrington. So Farrington and Cake Bread's Vineyard is in front of them, the one that you see in front of them.
Right.
And then Donnelly Creek, what used to be Donnelly Creek, is over the creek from them.
Okay.
But all of them are relatively flat. Donnelly Creek has a little bit of hillside vineyard.
Wow.
Those are gorgeous.
That's a hell of a Pinot.
That is a great Pinot.
What year is this? Yeah.
2021.
Wow.
Fathers and daughters, Roma's Vineyard.
This is a good example.
Dan, lay it down, Burger. How long would you lay it
well,
down?
Well, I... Pinot Noir...
It's delicious right now.
I'm really kind of out to lunch on this kind of stuff because Pinot Noir is so tricky, and it's really difficult for me to make a judgment on aging of Pinot Noir because it's so delicious now that anybody who puts it away, you have to buy into the concept. And if you buy into the concept, you're going to lose some fruit and you'll pick up complexity. But is it worth it to do that? I mean, this is like, it's very tricky. You buy this wine, you drink it, and then you look at your second and third bottles and say, that was so good, I think I'm going to get the other two right away.
And drink them right
now. Yeah, because I love
the case,
the age
Dan,
characteristic.
The whole case.
Pardon me?
You got to get a case, not three.
Buy
the whole case.
Buy a case.
Sell it, Dougie, sell it.
Yeah, if you age these, the best way to do it is to buy enough so that you can enjoy it while it's still young and then still have some later so that you can see how it develops. Because Pinot Noir is so tricky. I just don't age them as long as I would love to be able to see what happens in a decade. But the problem is that a decade is a long time and you need 10 or 12 bottles.
Dan, hold my beer.
Okay.
I brought a 2005
okay.
Pinot Noir.
Oh. Okay.
Cool, man.
And we'll find out.
Yeah, so
it's going to be 9 years.
So I would say that Anderson Valley is unique as an appellation. The quality of wine growing, meaning in the vineyard, excuse me, and then the quality of wine making has just spectacularly risen since I've entered the business. So in 2005. A fellow wine writer of Dan's organized a tasting of all of the 2003 Pinot Noirs made from Anderson Valley. It was something like 60 wines.
Wow.
And about a quarter of them, I am sad to admit, were flawed. Like I
really?
Yeah. Visibly, audibly, taste and smell, they were just flawed.
What year was this?
2003? Five from 2003 vintage.
Okay, yeah, gotcha.
It's
a two-year-old wine.
Right.
Yeah. Today, you would be very hard-pressed to find a single wine, a Pinot Noir from Anderson Valley, that's flawed, meaning the winemaking has become spectacular across.
And that is absolutely the case. It's a necessity. If you haven't tasted Anderson Valley Pinot Noirs, more than a couple, this Pinot Noir Festival coming up is really your thing because this gives you the opportunity to see how all these houses have evolved and become better and better and better.
It's Pinot Fest happening in May in Anderson Valley. And I guess it's avwinegrowers.com?
Avwine.com.
Avwine.com. Anderson Valley Wine Growers, run by Doug Stewart from Brego Winery. He's got Lichen wines as well.
I will say it's not run by. So Courtney is
You're the commandant.
She's our GM. Oh. And we have a host of volunteers. I'm part of the board. It has really been historically a volunteer organization. I joke about being dear leader, but I'm really not. I'm just the president.
Okay, president.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds important.
It is.
Unless you're in the United States.
I joke. It's
nobody. Nobody wants to impeach him.
Yeah. Right.
Again, I don't have the dates in front of me of Pinot Fest in Anderson Valley. This is a huge event, and you need to get tickets, and you need to get tickets soon.
Yeah, it really does sell out.
Yeah.
The 17th through the 19th of May, avwines.com. And the other fun parts of it, and I said this already, but are the tech conference. If you're a geek, a wine geek, I'm staring at you, Dan.
He is a geek.
I go to the tech conference every year.
And you do tastings in Mendocino County.
I do, all the time.
Oh, so the tech conference, I don't actually know what's on the menu this year, but we have, so I've been asked to speak on one of the panels for like 20 minutes out of the 4 or 5 hours, and my panel is on environmentally friendly farming, sustainable farming.
Oh, cool.
we're organic. This is a no-till farming panel for 20 minutes. it talks about how to farm Pinot. It talks about the Appalachian. It talks about the changes in the climate. And there's a whole lot of attention paid to that these days because Anderson Valley is fortunate in that we're on the largest, the largest heat sink in the world, which is the Pacific Ocean. And we're the closest to it as an Appalachian. And that has meant that we have not seen the kinds of swings in or changes in the climate that most Appalachians worldwide have seen.
Nor will you for at least 10 or 20 years.
I'm not planting Cabernet.
No, I'm not expecting you would, but I think that the Pinot Noirs will stay consistent for the next 10 years for sure because climate change is inevitable, but we're not going to see it in places like Anderson Valley.
AVWines.com.
Google could tell you, but
that's where you get your tickets for the Pinot Fest
app.
The Pinot Fest is mid-May in Anderson Valley. Yeah. Doug Stewart from Brego Winery, Lichen, and part of the Anderson Valley Wine Growers, California Wine Country. Doug Stewart from Brego Wines, the Anderson Valley Wine Growers, and Lichen. See you at Pinot Fest.
Thank you. Right. We'd love to see everybody at Pinot Fest.
Right on. All right. Thanks, Dan, as always.
A pleasure.